You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
In Play Radio is staying late for the NFL every Sunday. A specialist team of tipsters are on air from 6 until 1 a.m. bringing you the best bets every week. We'll also have experts from both sides of the pond in the build-up to the big games. In Play Radio from William Hill. Your eyes on a world of sport.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us here on the National Football League podcast. Dave Kellner, joined by Gil Alexander stateside to look ahead to the conference championship matches this weekend. We've got the New England Patriots at the Denver Broncos in the AFC championship. And in the NFC, we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Carolina Panthers. A warm welcome, a good morning now to our man stateside. It's Gil Alexander on the line right now. Gil, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Dave. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm much better than I was last week, which is good. And as I mentioned to you off air, I managed to see some of the action last weekend, but missed the best of the four games.
You missed the epic game, the game that we'll never see anything quite like it again, with Aaron Rodgers' 96-yard heroics in the last minute of that Arizona-Green Bay game. Amazing football game.
We'll talk more about that match last weekend as the podcast progresses, Gil. But we start off with the game at 8 p.m. UK time on Saturday, and it's the AFC Championship clash between the New England Patriots and the Denver Broncos. And here with William Hill, the Patriots on the money line 10-17, the Broncos in the betting at 6-4, and the spread is now at 3.5. The Patriots -3.5, even money, and the Broncos +3.5 at 5-6. New England last weekend came through against the Kansas City Chiefs, while the Denver Broncos were perhaps, Gil, slightly fortunate to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was an attritional battle between the Broncos and the Steelers, Gil. And if Fitzgerald Toussaint had managed to hold on to the ball when Pittsburgh were driving, we could have had the Steelers going to the Patriots this weekend. But as it is, Gil, we've got the Patriots going to Mile High and going up against the Broncos this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. That's where that game turned, right? I mean, Pittsburgh essentially was driving for the winning score, and on that fumble, it all turned. So for sure, they're the more fortunate of the two, certainly, to get to the AFC Championship. But you know what? Doesn't matter how they got there. They're there now.
And in the build-up to this match, from a media perspective, Gil, it's all been about the two quarterbacks here, Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning, for what must be, Gil, the last time in the postseason, this matchup. And we've got two quarterbacks that look like they are at very different stages of their career now. Brady seems to be, if not improving with age, certainly not regressing. Peyton Manning last week, he looks at times, Gil, as if he's throwing through treacle, Peyton Manning, the ball not coming out with any sort of velocity.
What did you say it looked like he was throwing through? What was
treacle? Treacle, Gil.
I don't know what that
is. It's like a syrupy, a glue-like substance, Gil.
It's fascinating. I've learned more than anybody else has on the show already. It's fabulous. Yes, that's exactly right. And it's funny, Dave, when you said this is their, you know, perhaps their last meeting. In my brain, I immediately thought, please, God, let it be.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, this is the 17th, for those who are interested in such things, this is the 17th meeting between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, which for two guys that are not in the same division in football, is the most ever by Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, anyway, in history. There are some non-divisional quarterbacks who have faced each other more, but not those, not by any who have won Super Bowls. Brady leads the series 11-5 straight up. It's their fourth AFC title game, the most head-to-head for any two quarterbacks since the merger. Manning has won two of the previous three, but none of that really means anything because this is not the Peyton Manning we have become accustomed to, not only, you know, 9 touchdown passes and 17 picks this year during the regular season. As you said, you know, he didn't really look that good last week. He certainly didn't show us anything that would lead us to be confident in this year where he has dealt with various injury, only played in 10 games, and the injury of note, the most notable anyway, reported partially torn plantar fascia injury. But, you know, I think his biggest injury is the fact that he's just an old man. And 23% of his passes this year were off target. That's the highest percentage for him in 10 years. I mean, it's unheard of. It's not a Peyton Manning kind of thing. And yet, as you point out, Tom Brady just chugs along. And I don't have enough time to bore your listeners with all those stats. He's just been amazing.
He has. And with Rob Gronkowski seemingly at full fitness last week and Julian Edelman coming into the fold at the right time as well, Gil, he's got some weapons all of a sudden, Tom Brady as well. Back to Manning for one moment, though, Gil. Does he give this Broncos team the best chance to win this weekend?
It's funny. I guess even with all that, I have to say he does, right? He deserves that amount of respect. That Peyton Manning, just through sheer guile and smarts at the line of scrimmage before the play even begins, his ability to decipher what a defense is trying to do even before the ball is snapped, makes him still, even at this advanced age and with all those limitations, the better choice versus Brock Osweiler, who would only be starting, let's say hypothetically, his what, fourth or fifth football game ever. So yeah, he's still their best choice. And I think this is what the Broncos wanted all year long. Once Peyton had those injuries, was let's just sit Peyton for the whole for the rest of the regular season, and then when the games count, they even would acknowledge even at that point that Peyton is their best choice. Sure, that's the guy they want in there for sure.
And away from the two quarterbacks, what other areas of the game do we need to focus on this week, Gil, when we're talking about this matchup?
Oh well, I think it's Rob Gronkowski versus the Broncos defense. Look, I mean, I'll start with the fourth quarter of the Steelers-Broncos game. I was asked on Twitter what I would make the spreads hypothetically. At that point, the Pittsburgh-Denver game was a one-point difference. It was anybody's ball game. The game was very much in the balance. And someone asked me, okay, well, if Pittsburgh wins this, what do you think the spread is at New England? If Denver wins this, what do you think the spread is Patriots at the Broncos? And I said that if Antonio Brown were available to the Steelers, had the Steelers come out of that game, this is before just before the Fitzgerald Toussaint fumble, that I think the Steelers would be 3-point favorites against the Steelers at Foxborough. But in the event that the Broncos somehow get out of here, I would think that the game will be a coin flip or a pick 'em in Denver between the Patriots and the Broncos, giving the Patriots therefore the nod, right? Any evenly matched teams would essentially default to a 3-point favorite for the home team. Mm. Instead of it being a pick 'em or a coin flip, it immediately comes out New England -2.5. And moves to -3 almost immediately, where it has stayed, at least in the States, all week. I know you said it was -3.5 now at William Hill. But I still stand by, from a handicapping perspective, that it should be a coin flip. Those 3 points that are given to the Patriots here are largely because of the effect in the playoffs, not only of recency, which we see week to week in the NFL, but the fact that there's a whole bunch of public money, more than ever, in these playoffs, flooding the market. And that's where those 3 points are. So bookmakers knew exactly what they were doing, making that point spread -3 at Denver. But what that indicates is that were this game in Foxborough, essentially they'd be making the Patriots 9-point favorites over these Broncos. It's a 6-point shift from venue to venue. And that makes no sense. Even all that stuff we talked about with Peyton Manning. The Broncos' defense, Dave, is still the number one defense in all of football. They're not number one overall in yards per play allowed alone. As we've mentioned, they're number one in yards per rush attempt, yards per pass attempt, number one in sacks. So the key matchup clearly to me becomes that New England offensive line. And keep in mind, Brady was sacked 38 times this season, the third most of his career, against that Broncos defense. And specifically, now Tom Brady will have, which he did not have the first time these two teams played back in week 12 when the Broncos came from a 14-point deficit back in the fourth quarter to win this game, a game where Rob Gronkowski got hurt late. Tom Brady didn't have Julian Edelman in that game. He's got Julian Edelman here for this one. And, of course, Gronkowski now at full strength, theoretically, for this game. And Gronk versus that Broncos defense is really, if you want to get laser focused on what the key matchup is, that is. And look, that's what's going to be everything in this game. Gronkowski in three career games against the Broncos, 22 catches, 283 yards with three touchdowns. Again, got hurt late in that last one. And since the week five loss to the Chiefs in 2014, not including last week's game, 141 catches for Gronk, 2,153 yards, 20 touchdowns, all highs for tight ends in the NFL over that span. So the Broncos are only going to be as successful as they are in terms of the game in covering Gronk and being successful against Gronk.
And I hear everything you're saying about the match from a handicapping perspective, but Gil, this is Bill Belichick, and I opposed him last week with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I got burned, Gil, and I'm reluctant to do so on this occasion. I just see the New England Patriots finding a way to win this football match.
Yep, and here's where it gets to this point where you sort of try to explain to folks, I deal with this in baseball betting all the time when I'm betting on underdogs, right? And you have to sort of explain counterintuitive things to listeners where you said, well, Gil, you're betting on a team that's, in American betting parlance, plus 160. Does that mean you think they're going to win this game? And you have to explain to bettors, well, actually, in any one-off game, basically what I'm saying is by my rating, I actually don't think they'll win this game, but they're still the proper bet.
Yeah.
Here, look, if this game's played 100 times, if this game's played 1,000 times, yes, the value is on the Denver Broncos. But it is a 60-minute football game in the playoffs. And as you're alluding to, Dave, I have sat here for years and years and years watching Bill Belichick's New England Patriots led by Tom Brady. And there is not a chance in hell, much like I backed the Patriots last week, there's not a chance in hell I wouldn't back them here, even as 3-point road dogs. I know the value is on the Broncos, but my intuition tells me it's all about the Patriots. So my money is on the Patriots. I personally have some AFC futures on the Patriots, which is a good position to be in from just before last week at plus money. But in terms of this game alone, look, I just can't bring myself to go against Bill Belichick, as you point out, in the Patriots, despite the fact that I know mechanically the value is on the Broncos on the line.
Good stuff. That's the New England Patriots at the Denver Broncos in the AFC Championship game. Let's move on, Gil, to the NFC Championship clash between the Arizona Cardinals and the Carolina Panthers, and the Cards going to the Panthers this weekend. This is a Sunday night game here in the UK, 11:45 p.m. So this basically guarantees I'm going to fall asleep during this match. The Cardinals 6-4 in this clash on the money line. The Panthers 10-17. And the spread is set at 3.5, Gil. The Cardinals +3.5 with the extra juice at 5-6. And the Panthers -3.5 at even money. Is that the line you're seeing over there, Gil? Or is it 3 stateside?
It's still 3 here. But this is the one of the two that I can see shifting to 3.5 here first. This is 3 with extra juice across the board. So this is teetering already on 3.5 and what we're a little more than 48 hours before kickoff. I think we're going to see money move here on Carolina. And I think this could be 3.5, maybe even 4 by game time. I have no way of knowing that for sure, but that's my hunch. Say, by the way, Dave, do you need me? I'm going to be watching with a bunch of friends. Do you need me to step out at halftime and call you from California just to make sure you're awake or wake you up at that point?
I think that would be wise, actually, because I don't want to miss what happened last week. If we have a similarly exciting finish, I want to be up and alive and watching that, Gil. So that could be a plan, definitely.
I'll excuse myself. I'll make that happen for you.
As far as the matchup is concerned, statistically, we've got two very similar franchises here, both very exciting from an attacking standpoint, ranked number 1 and 2 in scoring in the NFC this season, and both with mean defenses as well. Go about it slightly different ways, Gil, but statistically very similar.
Yeah, number 1 and 2 in points scored in the NFL, actually. Number 1 and 2 in scoring margin in the NFL, number one and two in turnover differential in the NFC. The Panthers are number one overall, but at plus 20 this year in turnover differential. I mean, yeah, I mean, offensively, these guys are the real deal. And as we know, Arizona offensively, number one in yards per play this year, number one in yards per pass attempt. And then there was last week, and, you know, you asked me a question. In fairness, last week you said, hey, you know, any concerns, Gil, about Carson Palmer not having won a playoff game headed into last week? And I very nonchalantly dismissed you, Dave, and I said, no, no concerns whatsoever. Why would that be a concern? He's only played in a couple. Well, you know what? It's a very valid question. I actually tweeted you in the middle. I go, maybe he does have a playoff problem. I've never seen a guy, that veteran of a guy, and keep in mind, three of these four quarterbacks in these championship games are 36 years of age or older. Palmer's 36, Brady's 38, Manning's 39. It's never happened before that we've had three quarterbacks that old in a championship round. But for a guy that has had this much experience in the league, in Carson Palmer, to come out last week, playoffs or not, in his back pocket experience-wise, he just looked awful. For a guy who's had a spectacular season, he short-armed passes. These were interceptions where, while the ball was in midair, everybody watching was like, oh, that's done. There's no chance that's getting to the receiver. That ball is so picked. And yet, the Cardinals escaped. And so, part of your handicap in this game, or maybe really a large part of your handicap of this game, is Palmer going to be that guy from last week, or is the monkey effectively off his back now?
That's the big question.
He's going to be the Carson Palmer. Yeah.
That's the big question that I've got written down as well here, whether or not that performance last week, getting that first win under his belt, has washed away the butterflies, so to speak, Gil, and whether he'll come out and show us the quarterback that he's been in the regular season.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, look, if we're tasked with that, I guess we have to assume, you know what they say about assuming, Dave, but I guess we're left to assume that Palmer will be the guy we most often saw in 2015. But, you know, it's not going to be easy for him. He's going up against the Carolina defense. They led the NFC with 44 sacks this year, and they went ahead and sacked Russell Wilson five times last week in their own type of strange game. And again, for those who missed it, you know, Arizona had the game salted away against the Packers. Less than a minute left, they had Aaron Rodgers pinned back, fourth and 20 at his own four, and somehow the magic of Aaron Rodgers got the Packers into the end zone for the game-tying play, which killed all Arizona minus sevens that were looking at an easy push at the very least in that game. Mm-hmm. And Arizona was forced to win it in overtime. And just an amazing game that featured a coin flip that wasn't, all kinds of bizarre things happening. But Carolina's win was kind of equally weird, if not as dramatic. Up 31-0 at the half, and then Seattle just storms back on them, and Carolina clings to the 31-24 win. So Carolina's got to figure out a way to correct these second half problems. This is not the first time that's happened to them. They blew a 17-point lead versus Indianapolis around midseason before winning in overtime. Then shortly after that, I think the next week, they led Green Bay by 23 in the fourth before winning by just one score, and they needed a field goal as time expired to beat the Giants after coughing up a 28-point lead. So it's the fourth time in half a season that this has happened to the Panthers. Arizona, you can't do that with the Cardinals. You can't let them back into a game. Their offense, despite not having a running game, it's a little too explosive for that. And if you're going to get the real version of Carson Palmer, at least the 2015 real version of him, they got to shore things up, the Panthers do, in the second half.
No, absolutely. I agree. And do you think Ron Rivera's play calling's been a little bit too conservative, Gil?
Well, you know, his nickname is Riverboat Ron, known for his gambling, you know, type propensity out there on the football field. So I don't know if it's been too conservative. I mean, look, they're a team that, when you look at their skill position players, they don't have a lot of weapons. They will have Jonathan Stewart for sure this week. So they do have the ability to rely on their running game and then try to let Cam Newton do his thing. But it's not a guy with a lot of weapons on the outside. You know, when he lost Kelvin Benjamin this preseason, we immediately shifted into the mode of, oh, well, the Panthers have no chance this year. They've got Steve Smith is gone now, a couple years removed. Now they don't have Kelvin Benjamin. What is Cam Newton possibly going to do with Greg Olsen and a bunch of no-name receivers? And Jonathan Stewart there with no D'Angelo Williams. Well, what they did is go 16-1 up to this point and have an epic NFL season, at least in the win-loss column. I don't think anybody thinks, advanced stats-wise or otherwise, that they're equivalent to what a 16-1 team has been in years gone by. But nonetheless, I don't blame anything on Ron Rivera. I just feel like it's a matter of execution with the Panthers. It's so easy to say they fall asleep, but the real question is not offensively to me. It's the fact that their defense starts to give up yards too, which is the issue, because the defense is what this team is really relying upon. And I think ultimately the defense is the key to this one. And I think the Panthers defense will be able to make enough stops here against the Cardinals in what I anticipate being a high scoring game. But the Panthers' defense is the best unit on the football field on Sunday, and that's what's going to rule the day.
Maybe look at over 47.5 points there, then, Gillett, at 10-11 as well. Just quickly before we wrap up, Gil, I see a couple of keys for Arizona in this matchup. If they are to win it, they need to get David Johnson going on the ground, because the ground game non-existent against the Green Bay Packers last week. They must not rely too heavily upon Carson Palmer in this matchup, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you can get away being one. You can get away with being one-dimensional against a lot of football teams, and until you go up against a really great defense, and then you're just going to get exposed on that. You really are. If the Panthers decide to themselves, and the Panthers are a really great defense, if they're going to come out and they're going to say, "Look, let that running game beat us." You know, we respect you, Carson Palmer. We respect your trio of receivers in Fitzgerald, Floyd, and Brown. We'll take those guys away from you. Now what can you do? Well, the Panthers' defense is good enough to key on those wideouts and then let the rest take care of itself. So you're right. A lot is going to come down to, can the Cardinals get any modicum of success out of that running game? They haven't been known for it for a couple years, and they've gotten – you know, this is the furthest they've gotten doing that, but I think this is their Waterloo. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is the one where you don't get away with the one-dimensional play. And, you know, that's ultimately what I think the Cardinals may have to address in the offseason. Though David Johnson, you know, was a bit of a revelation down the stretch. They may have something there with him, but we'll learn a lot about that Sunday afternoon at Carolina.
Panthers the pick then, Gil.
Yeah, I'm going to go Panthers here at -3, and I'm going to grab it before it gets to -3.5, because, again, I think that's where it's headed, if not to -4.
Gil, as always, fantastic speaking to you on this Friday morning, your time stateside. Thank you for your company. Enjoy the AFC and the NFC Championship clashes, and we'll catch up for the big one in a couple of weeks' time, the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50 coming up in 2 weeks' time, folks. Thank you once again, Gil. You can check Gil out on Twitter at BeatingTheBook, and make sure you tune into the Megapod ahead of this week's matches. And enjoy it, Gil. Enjoy these two games this weekend.
You too, Dave. Keep the phone by you so I can wake you up at halftime.
Thank you, Gil. We'll speak again soon.
Take care, man.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.